You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush.
Hey, it's John Bush with the Live Free Now podcast. On today's show, you get to hear the speech I gave at the Greater Reset 5. It's all about the Freedom Cell Network. It's about aligning with our power and really doing what we need to do to create a free society. In the speech, I announced the 5-day Freedom Cell Challenge. You can sign up through the links in the show notes. You'll hear more about it at the speech. But yeah, the Greater Reset was incredible. We just got back a couple weeks ago. I went down with my lovely wife, Rebecca, and some of our Live Free Academy crew. Shout out to Derek Bros and Hakeem and Derek's partner, Miriam, for putting on an incredible event. We'll be sharing more updates with the evolution of the Greater Reset in future podcasts. But for now, thanks so much for being a subscriber of the Live Free Now podcast. Enjoy the speech. I hope that it motivates and empowers you. And I hope to see you at the 5-day Freedom Cell Challenge. Thanks. All right, so my name is John Bush, and I hail from Texas, which, yes, we do consider it to be its own thing, separate from the United States of America. Like, if you're traveling abroad, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm from Texas. Or, oh, yeah, Texas. All right, that's great. That's exciting. Right? And so here with my lovely wife, and we brought our crew down from Live Free Academy and some of our family and community. And I just want to share before I get started on the speech I've been preparing for my entire life. It's all come down to this moment. I just am really grateful that each and every one of you are joining us in this moment, because what it is that we're building is absolutely beautiful, and we really are changing the world. And I just feel honored to be a part of this movement, because there's a lot of ugliness in the world, but when these good people get together, when we discuss these incredible ideas, and when we focus on solutions, I really do find it to be incredibly special, and it gives me hope. I'm generally an optimistic guy. I've been doing activism and this whole truth thing for 20 years now. So a majority of my life, I've been focused on answering the question, what are we going to do to create genuine freedom in our lives? And like I said, I was never pessimistic in spite of all the treachery and all the documentaries we watch on Rumble. I always had hope because I know that the spirit of freedom is alive within us, even though if it's gone dormant for a lot of people. Once you've tasted and experienced that freedom, or once one area has freedom in spite of authoritarianism in other areas, if they're capable of seeing what's going on in other areas, they're going to want that too. And I just want to throw out to help with people, if you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed out about the state of the world, freedom, peace, harmony, that's the default state of things. There's a beautiful natural order in nature. We are nature, right? We all feel like we're all analytical and intellectual and conscious, and we're above and beyond all that. Well, I'm sure this audience doesn't, but we are nature. And at the end of the day, nature is beautiful, nature is harmony, and nature is free. Let us never forget that the enemies of freedom have to conspire. They have to operate in darkness with manipulation and sorcery, like literally, in order to carry out their agenda. And at the end of the day, all we had to do is stand up and shine in our true power. So let us never forget that, because that is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so I want to make a big announcement. Come February 19th through the 23rd, we're actually going to be doing a free 5-day Freedom Cells Challenge. The whole idea will be to bring together tens of thousands of people to come and learn how to most effectively leverage the Freedom Cell Network in order to create greater freedom in our lives, individually, family, and community, and globally or worldwide, as Dan said. So I want to invite everybody to join me in that. You can sign up for free at livefree.academy/challenge. Livefree.academy/challenge. It's going to help folks that aren't a part of the Freedom Cell Network just yet learn how to get onboarded, what to do once they're a part of the network. It's also going to help existing groups, existing cells, to more effectively work on exit and build goals. And then for leaders in the movement, hopefully it'll provide some inspiration and some wisdom on how we can more effectively grow this whole freedom cell thing. I'll just explain what it is too, because one of the things that we're going to go over in the challenge is like how to pitch the Freedom Cells Network, how to communicate with other people about the network. But essentially, it's kind of a tool to bring people together. Really, that's all it is. It's a tool to bring people together so we can collectively and cooperatively work on our exit and build goals. There's a website, freedomcells.org. That is a website that really serves as an online place to get people to come together. There's a map, there's cells, there's forums, essentially. And we're very active on Telegram as well. But in all reality, the essence and the magic of the Freedom Cell Network lies within people getting together IRL in real life. You can register on the website if there's people online that aren't a part of the network yet. Freedomcells.org is a great way to tap in. I will say, though, there's people that are victims and just always look for others to blame for this, that, and the other. And then there's empowered people that take responsibility for things into their own hands. And I want to encourage people, because as I'm inviting people to go to the website, there's this common phenomenon that happens. And it goes like this. You know, John and Derek told me I should join the Freedom Cells website. I go to the website to go look at the map, and there's nobody in my area at all. What the heck, Derek? That's lame. Thought you guys had this really cool thing going, this Freedom Cell Network. That's right. So we always tell people, if there's no one in your area or if there's a dormant group, then it's up to each and every one of us to step into that leadership role and start to build the network out. I like to say, ask not what the Freedom Cell Network can do for you, but what you can do for the Freedom Cell Network. All right. So the Freedom Cell Network. When I think about the Freedom Cell Network and when I communicate the ideas and the strategy behind the Freedom Cell Network, I like to look at it in two ways. And unfortunately, the first way I'm going to share, that's what people tend to be most attracted to. And I kind of want to break that down because I think exploring this dichotomy can help us to more effectively bring people into the community and create freedom and do our whole activism thing, okay? So essentially, I'm talking about two motivations for activism, for organizing, for doing this Freedom Cell Network thing. The number one motivation for many people is to resist, to fight, to push back, or because we're afraid. Okay, these are all perfectly natural things and totally understandable. There's no judgment anywhere. But there's a reason why the Freedom Cell Network, for the longest time, this was an idea that I had back in 2014, started talking about it. There was a couple disparate cells here and there. Derek learned about the idea and really helped to give it wings and spread it. But for the longest time, it was just slow, kind of steady, little stagnant growth. And before COVID, there was like 1,000 people, which is pretty cool and exciting. And we were definitely excited about it. But after the COVID pandemic, the lockdown, scamdemic, whatever you want to call it, we saw accelerated growth from 1,000 to 40,000 people registered on the website. And that's pretty cool and exciting, but unfortunately, because the lockdowns have ended and people are like, the tyranny's not in my face and I'm no longer experiencing a boot stomping on my neck, I'll just go back to life as usual. Now, of course, the enemies of freedom, the tyrants, the technocrats, the Klaus Schwabs, and the Bill Gateses of the world, they're definitely not resting. They're marching on to their 2030 agenda. But one thing that I hear commonly from Freedom Cell organizers and leaders is that we used to have a solid group getting together, and now people don't show up because they've gone back to life as usual. And one insight I had, I was sharing with Derek a couple days ago, it was like, even though it seems like there's fewer people, quantity, the people that have stuck around are more quality people. They're people that are motivated by the second type of motivation, which is just basically the idea that, hey, we're free, powerful, beautiful, sovereign human beings, and the systems that we were born into aren't in alignment with who we truly are. And so what really motivates me when it comes to the Freedom Cell Network is establishing a new means of organizing ourselves socially, making group decisions, and working together on common goals, a new way of doing life so we can leave a lasting legacy for the future generations that aren't even born yet. But unfortunately, the challenge is not everybody's attracted by that. And one of the reasons I've been thinking about why is because this idea of like, well, what if we can entirely replace the systems we were born into? Like even having a birth certificate and social security number and paying taxes and the public education and this, that, and the other, right? The banks. But the challenge is we're like speculating and contemplating on a new way of doing things, which in many ways is a return to the traditional indigenous way of doing things, more tribal, more connected with the land, more connected with our brothers and sisters. But because it's such a far off thing that we don't experience in day-to-day life, it's hard for people to wrap their head around it. And it's much easier to get caught in the monotony and struggle of day-to-day life than it is to work on a project where we may not even see the ultimate fruits of our labor ever in our lifetime. It's easier to push back. It's easier to go to the protest. Also along the way, I realized that ultimately, if we want to create freedom, it's up to each and every one of us to take that into our own hands, change the way that we live, and in turn, we will create the free society that we all desire. Like Samuel Edward Konkin said, it's the consistent application of the philosophy of liberty that creates the free society. Okay, so in marketing and in my business and entrepreneurship, I've really studied human psychology and what motivates people. And like I said, people aren't motivated by doing hard work. For example, we just did this 30-day health challenge. That's what came to mind. And it was like, hey, here's what we're going to present for you. Pay $297 and then work out for 30 days straight. No drinking the entire time. No cigarettes. You can't even drink coffee when you first wake up either. But you're going to pay us $297 to go through that. The offer didn't work out as well as we had hoped. And, you know, breaking it down and doing the whole Monday morning quarterback thing, we came to find like sometimes people don't want to put in the work. And that's something that we need to be aware of. So what does this mean for us in our efforts to grow the Freedom Cell Network? Well, we need as leaders to help people understand the work that it is that we're doing, to help give people a strong and powerful why. And like I said, at times it's challenging for people to grasp what it is that we're building, a world without government, a world without coercion, a decentralized, voluntary, and transparent world. And it's going to take a long time. Ultimately, it's going to take multiple generations, and people are simply seeking simple solutions that give them immediate gratification. So on that note, understanding that, we don't need to resist that or push back on that. We just need to be aware of it. So whenever there's like a single issue, a hot button thing, we can organize around that and help people get attracted to the network around that. But then it's up to each and every one of us to cultivate those relationships and help people have a firmer understanding of what it is really that we're trying to do. So for example, with COVID and the lockdowns, of course, that was this big, sexy, attractive, scary kind of thing that's going on. And it attracted a whole lot of people. People come into the fray. Once we have people in the community, in the movement, in the network, the next question is, well, what are we going to do with our time now? Well, I think one thing that we could do as a group, but also individually, and this is something I'd love for you guys to have as a takeaway, because when we're in the moment, when we're all together, it's easy to be excited and passionate and like, well, I'm going to go home and completely change everything. But then when we get back home, we get caught in the monotony and the struggle of life. And we often lose sight of those goals and those things that we said we were going to do while we're at the event. So one thing that you can do with your local group and in your own individual life is answer this question. What are the areas of my life in which I'm most dependent on centralized and coercive institutions? It's a great exercise and it's a great way to decide and determine what we should spend our time doing, right? So what areas of my life am I most dependent on the system? Because it's those areas where we are most vulnerable to control and manipulation, right? This is already something many people were aware of, but after COVID, it's like, wow, they'll stop at nothing to try to pressure, coerce, manipulate, strong arm, twist our arm, socially engineer us into doing something that we may not have wanted to do. And unfortunately, a lot of people succumbed to the pressure and ended up getting the stupid shot, right? Ultimately, more so, it was like the media campaign worked for most people, but then there were still holdouts. And then they're like, well, why don't we take their jobs away from them? And then a lot of people buckled. But I think what caused people to buckle the most was the pressure from their family members at the end, where it's like people were holding out. They're like, you're still freaking holding out. Grandma's dying, all sorts of stuff. And it was the pressure, that social pressure, wanting to fit in with the crowd, wanting to fit in with the group. Nonetheless, we learned that their tactic is to pressure, is to make life challenging for people so they'll get them to do what they want them to do. And that's a strategy that they'll utilize with food, locking people out of their bank accounts, those that supported the Canadian trucker protest, right? So we need to be aware of that. We need to preempt that. And we need to ask ourselves, in what ways am I dependent on the system? And if you're asking, what do I do when I get back home? Well, come up with goals centered around those areas in which you're most dependent. For example, if all your money's in the bank, or if you use PayPal and credit card all the time, and you don't have cryptocurrency or a local paper trade currency, or you don't have a barter network or whatever it may be, that may be a solid area. Or if you are entirely dependent on centralized food sources like the grocery store and their chemical food, fake food, it's like, sure, you could have natural organic food, but it's going to cost you extra. Is that weird? There's like more chemicals, but it's more expensive, or it's less expensive to have more chemicals on it. Anyway, that's one thing where you could be like, what am I going to do when I get back home? Well, let me be really clear and be real with myself about where am I most vulnerable, where am I most dependent on the system. And that's something that you could do in your own life. That's something that you could do with your family. And it's also something you could do as a Freedom Cell group. So the idea with the Freedom Cells thing is bring people into the fray. If there's people that are motivated and attracted by the latest story of the day, the latest tyranny, the latest pressure, digital ID, surveillance, food shortages, use that as a recruiting mechanism, but then get down to brass tacks and try to identify areas where most people are concerned and what can we do in our local Freedom Cell group. Just a little tidbit there. So one thing as well, if you're recruiting folks to the Freedom Cell network, is to help overcome objections. So I just want to share something that I've become really crystal clear about. Along the way, I think it's more so in our community, we've kind of been programmed to always think things are going to fail or go wrong. Or we've watched so damn many conspiracy documentaries that now we believe the New World Order, the Predator Class, the World Economic Forum, that they're omnipotent. And even when something positive happens, we always figure out a way to make it part of the plan. That's part of the plan. It's part of the program. That's a trick. They're just doing that so they can suck us in. It's a con. It's co-opt. That person's controlled opposition. They just got to be like a con man. We got to believe in them. And I'm like, are you kidding me, guys? We can't ever have any victories. Like, what kind of miserable life is that when the New World Order is so powerful that, like, when we get a raise at our job or something, it's all part of this dastardly plan? And I recognize that it's this defeatist thing. And I think in all reality, it has a lot to do with the media that we consume, which is another reason why events like this are so damn powerful, because we got people on stage, we got people that are in attendance that are doing really incredible things. And even though we're living at a time with crazy authoritarianism, sometimes I say we're living in the most authoritarian time ever. But then I think back that it wasn't that long ago when you questioned the divine right of kings that they would cut your head off, put it on a stake for all of the town to see. We got things pretty good nowadays compared to that. But a lot of people, we consume so much media and it's like the New World Order's got this dastardly plan and they're marching forward. And we like internalize that. And then we can't see a victory if it slapped us in the face. Like this guy, I'm not a big political guy, but I do think that it's constructive to kind of see where things are going. This guy, Javier Milei or whatever in Argentina. So everyone's like, well, he went to the World Economic Forum out several years ago, and he just went recently. And as soon as people saw him on the website, he's going to speak at the World Economic Forum. It was literally like 7 days ago or something. They're like, it's part of the plan. You should have never been happy and excited that somebody that says good things about freedom and libertarianism got elected. But then you watch the video that he gave, and he's like completely just lecturing them on socialism and why it's total BS and why they're parasitic. And he's like dropping all these haymakers. But still, there's people in the audience that are like, no, that's part of the plan too. They got to get us to believe and be false hope, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, and I know where this comes from because, like I said earlier, like I quote unquote woke up back in 2002 when I caught a documentary by Alex Jones on cable access in Austin. Because Alex Jones is from Austin. That's where I was from. In fact, we used to call into Alex Jones and prank call him on the cable access show. He's always all worked up. Anyway, when I was in college, I would go to schools on Tuesday and Thursday, and I would always listen to the InfoWars show, and I thought I was like intellectually superior to all the normies behind me, but in reality, I was freaked out, and it's like maybe ignorance is bliss, because how free are you when we're completely freaked out all the time? How free are we when we're word vomiting all over our family members at Thanksgiving dinner and we have terrible, unhealthy relationships? Is that the freedom? That's not the freedom that I desire. But I did come to realize, like, wow. And I thought everything was a conspiracy. And I would annoy my parents on our long road trips. And I'd be pointing out the symbolism and the ExxonMobil sign and all this thing. I don't know how they put up with me. But that's not what I want for myself. And it's not what I want for you. Far too often, we project omnipotence on the enemies of freedom. And as I shared before, as I started with, they have to use deceit and manipulation in order to carry out their agenda. We just have to align ourselves with our highest good and all will be well. But a lot of people too are like defeated such that we bring up the idea of the Freedom Cell Network and like, hey, you know, I know people have been feeling alone and isolated. There's actually this global community of really cool people, very conscious. They get together, they work on common goals, they're gardening, they're getting the kids together. It's really cool. And the first thing that pops in people's heads is, well, it sounds like I'm just going to be on the list and government's going to take me away. And for some reason, and maybe this is resonating with you, a lot of people's first instinct is to think of a way that it can't work rather than to sit back and be like, maybe it actually is working. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we've like gotten so defeated and just weakened, really. And that's like, that's exactly where the predator class wants people to be. So defeated and weakened that, like I said before, a victory could slap them in the face and they would still try to go through mental gymnastics to figure out a way that it was part of the plan. So I want to encourage folks, when you're talking about the Freedom Cell Network to people, there's some common objections that I've seen and I've heard, and that's one of them. What if I go to the website and I register, I'm just putting myself on a list. And I always like to tell people, look, if we're all on the list, then the list is meaningless, basically. Come on. It's also like, well, if I got people like Derek Bros and this Dan guy, all these cool people, that's the in crowd. Those are the cool guys in high school. We were probably all lame in high school, right? Pretty much. But they are pretty cool. So that's a common objection. And it all comes from fear. And let us not be, I'm trying to joke around and be playful here, but you know, let's understand that people are terrified. And fear is something that people always revert back to in many different instances, especially if they've been banging on documentaries that talk about blueprint for global enslavement, reduction of the population, 90%, global biodiversity assessment, eliminate everybody, yada, 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 right? Of course, they're going to be afraid. So some ways to overcome that, just some tips if you decide to take up the banner of growing the Freedom Cell Network with us. Encourage people not to put their home address. So it's like, you're worried about being on a list. Why don't you just make a dummy email account? I'm sure Hakeem can tell you all about how to do that. Just make a new email address. You don't even have to use your real name. You can put an address down the street, right? Because when you sign up on the website, we encourage you to put yourself on a map. Everyone's all freaked out. Why am I going to put myself? I'm trying to hide out. I mean, in all reality, being more public and more present with what it is that we're doing, it normalizes things. And we have nothing to hide. We're not doing anything wrong. We're just getting together and opting out of the government and figuring out ways to not pay our taxes. Looking at you, IRS. So just encourage people to not put their home address, and then that really resolves anything. You can connect with the VPN if you're generally that scared. But it's kind of funny, though, when people tell me that, they're like, oh, I'm just going to get rounded up and be put on this list. I'm like, bro, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been arrested a couple times for political activism, but it's not like I got put in a gulag or they didn't come target me because of these ideas. In fact, when I first came up with this idea for Freedom Cells, I was actually nervous to share it publicly because I thought it was so powerful and so provocative that surely they'd just lock me up and string me up right away. And so I had to like work up the courage to give the first speech I gave on Freedom Cells. And then for the longest time, like absolutely nothing happened. And I was like, it's going to be okay, right? But now that it's grown into this huge thing, it's like, wow, this is really freaking cool. But here we are having these giant events and all these people coming together and broadcasting it, hundreds of people watching, thousands and thousands will watch the replays, and here we are. They're not raiding us. They're not doing mass arrests. So oftentimes, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That's one objection. Another objection I hit on earlier, I went to the website. There's nobody there. This is a bust, right? Well, we need people to step into that leadership role. And there's a lot of folks that don't have skills necessarily to lead, but I know within each and every one of us, no matter how awkward or socially weird we happen to be, or uncomfortable or lacking confidence, each and every one of us has a leader within us. And it all starts with leading our own lives, leading our household, and then projecting that beyond and leading other people of like mind. So I want to encourage people to push through that and to help lead and create. And another thing, you know, when we get that, I get triggered when people say that. Like, I went to the website, there's nobody there. Blech. But like I said before, successful people take responsibility for everything. So as a leader in the movement, as somebody that puts these ideas out there, I take responsibility for not teaching people more or letting them know that there may or may not be people in your area. But it's up to you to step into that and to make things happen, okay? Another objection people have, and something that I've talked to some of you guys about this week, is like I said, we had a great turnout. People were showing up, and then the lockdowns kind of subsided, and now nobody shows up. So how can we make our network, our local movement, sticky? How can we create an environment where people continuously show up? And I would encourage you to have fun, to not just have a meeting where it's one person talking to the other people and it starts to kind of get monotonous and yeah, we hear from this guy all the time. In fact, that's one of my insecurities. We have a local Freedom Cell meetup and I like get up and do a hoorah speech. And I'm like, are these people getting tired of hearing from me? What the heck? So as a leader, it's important to bring up new people and bring others up to share their stories and highlight the successes that people are doing. But the point I want to make is have fun. It shouldn't be a connection, a thing that is resonated in fear. It should be hope, optimism, fun, and joy. So that's a cool thing about the events that Derek does. Like, there's always a concert and music element, and people get to go hang out and dance together. There's something very powerful about that. Bruce Bowman puts together music and concerts, and it's always like, we're having fun. Come check out the music. Come for the music. Stay for the message. Same thing. Derek would do Visionary Noise in Houston, right? So if people aren't sticking around because they were only motivated out of fear of a lockdown or something, then take responsibility as a leader to make things more fun. All right, so those are just some objections that people have oftentimes. And as a leader, it's up to us to overcome those objections and be loud and proud about all of that stuff. But I do want to encourage you, you know, things are going to get challenging if you're leading. And it's always the darkest before dawn. And in all reality, oftentimes I speculate, like, what is the future actually going to look like for us? Because it's painfully clear that there's a small group of dastardly people that are hell-bent on controlling everyone, right? That's what this whole Great Reset is all about. We want to control people through technology, surveillance, social engineering, digital IDs, CBDCs, social credit scores, vaccine passports, which are more about controlling people's movement. The vaccine was just the first application. And it's like, wow, they really have their plans laid out pretty strongly, and they got some pretty big picture visions. So what does it actually look like for us when we don't comply? Like, so these are the kind of questions we got to ask ourselves. And that, in my opinion, is why this whole exit and build thing is so damn important. Because it's easy to control people when they're dependent on their systems. It's much more challenging when we've essentially de facto become independent already. It's also why I'm such a big advocate for people getting out of the cities and moving to the country. Because in the country, things are more laissez-faire. Like we don't really have the World Health Organization in Bastrop County, Texas. There's not really much going on. It was a very low density people that took the vaccine. It was like 20 or 30% of the people. It wasn't a majority. So I do think that the hope and the freedom lies within decoupling ourselves as much as possible from their systems. And there's actually, you guys have seen the article that was like, the year's 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and I've never been happier. Are these guys fooling up, are they serious with that messaging that's actually going to be attractive to people? But you read the article and it's like the robots took over, we lost our jobs, but everything's handled for us and we don't own anything. I like rent out my couch when I'm not using it and blah, blah, blah. I don't even rent it out. It's just like, done for me with AI. You're not going to be using the couch. The camera on the TV noticed you haven't been using the couch between 2 and 3 p.m. We've invited Gary from down the street to come sleep on your couch during those times. And we've awarded you 12 credits for the service of doing so. Like, that's the future that many people are going to get swarmed into. But if you read down in the article, it's like, but I really worry about the people that didn't go along with it all when the robots took our jobs. They live in little 19th century villages and self-supplying communities outside the country. It's literally what it says. And I'm like, that's us, right? So I believe the hope and this whole exit and build thing, it lies in the whole purpose of the Freedom Cell Network. When I came up with this idea, the underlying ethos was strength in numbers. The more of us that see through the disguise, stop believing the lies, and break free of being hypnotized, the stronger we will be. Because if it's just a small pocket, a couple people here and there, and they're like, no, we're not going along. I will not rent my couch to Gary. He always like leaves fingernail clippings on the couch and stuff. It's this Gary guy. And taking a shower in like 2 months. The more of us that say, no, we're not going along with it, the more secure we can be in expressing and asserting our sovereignty. And that's what the Freedom Cell Network is all about. We're trying to bring as many people together so we can feel comfortable and confident declaring our independence. And so we're not the lone wolf that makes it easier to get crushed. That's ultimately the mission. And that's ultimately what this network is all about. So I want to just hit again on the challenge. I really want to encourage people to sign up. You can go to livefree.academy/challenge, livefree.academy/challenge. One of the things that we're going to be doing with this, in addition to helping people to onboard new people. So for those of you that are already part of the network, we're going to expect you to help encourage other people to join. It's going to be a great introduction to the community, to the network, and we're going to help people get onboarded to the website, to the Telegram groups. And we're going to help the leaders to have meetings already ready to go. We're going to create a bunch of resources, like some flyers. There's already flyers on the website, by the way, Merriam made. You just go to freedomcells.org, register, and on the back end, there's flyers. You could actually put information about your local community. We're going to give people advice on what to do with a group. How do you set goals? How do you check in? How do you run an effective meeting that doesn't get taken over, that isn't boring, that doesn't just drown and go on and on and on? And then we're going to talk about how can we take things to the next level? Because ultimately right now, like this vision for the Freedom Cell Network, it's immensely benefiting people now. And you guys have no idea how much it fills my heart with joy to hear from you guys when you express gratitude or just share that you have a community and you met people. And at the height of the lockdowns, there were people that felt all isolated and alone, but through the Freedom Cells movement, they were able to find other people. I met somebody at the Free State Project's Pork Fest. And I walked by and they're like, oh my God, hey, I want to introduce you to our Freedom Cell group. And there was like 10 different, it was like eight families all came. And they're like, we thought we were all alone. We lived in New York State. It was absolutely terrible during the lockdowns. We found this Freedom Cell community. We formed a homeschool co-op with our kids. And now we all spend time together. We're trying to buy land together. It was like, wow, this is incredible. And so people are benefiting, you know, on a micro scale, but looking to the future, having that vision for where this could go, ultimately, I'd love to see us create decentralized, consensus-based decision-making systems so we could pull resources and maybe buy land. Maybe we build a community center. Maybe we fund events. Maybe the Freedom Cell Network sponsors events to help spread the message. And ultimately, the goal that we're trying to do here is replace government and mega corporations as a means of fulfilling our wants and needs. Like that's the work that we're doing here. So we're going to teach people how to onboard. We're going to help empower leaders, but we're also going to use it as a initiative, as a rallying cry to grow the network from 40,000 people that are on the website now to 100,000. So I want to announce that goal, announce it here. By the end of 2024, I am going to do everything I can, and I invite you guys to join me to grow the network to 100,000 people. That will more than double the network. Now, when we say there's 40,000 people in the network and the movement, it's just 40,000 people that have registered on the website. Most of those people aren't around anymore. They're not doing anything. There's like a core group of people, many of them in the room right now. So there's really no way to estimate exactly how many people are participating. Maybe there's even more, actually. We really have no idea. They're just not on the website. They're like, screw you guys. I'm not going to be on that list, right? But the cool thing is if we go from 40,000 to 100,000 now, we can rest assured that the 60,000 new people that joined will be active, right? Because we're going to have all sorts of cool stuff for them to do, and it's going to be fun, and they're going to be new, fresh people. So imagine having, you know, 75, 80,000 people all on the same page, all ready and willing to participate in furthering the exit and build movement. I think it really could make a difference in the quality of life we enjoy, in the community that we're a part of. events like this. You know, if we grow the network to 100,000, there'll be more people showing up. There'll be more incredible people doing big things that we can hear from. So I really think that this is an opportunity, a rallying cry, something to just organize around, because there's disparate groups with different ideas and different values. And really what we center around is the idea of freedom. And I'll just end with this. Dan earlier was talking about Chadon, which is not very far from here. I had the privilege, my wife and I, we went and visited and met with the elders. And they like came to our hotel and summoned us and showed us all around the community. And they showed us their sacred spring where they would feed water from the community. And they showed us the forest where they were illegally logging and planting. There's like an illegal avocado trade in Mexico. And they were like really, really just abusing the community. And one of the things that spurred the women to rise up is that they were kidnapping people. And they would drive through the town and like humiliate the people. It was insult to injury. Like, you're going to already do all these ugly things and then you're going to humiliate us. And that's when they said, basta ya, enough is enough, right? But after going there and seeing how they threw out their old government, they instituted an indigenous form of government, I started to ask myself, like, well, why haven't we done something like that? What is it? And there's one thing that Chadon has that not many other places have. They have, and you know, it's always, this comes up in libertarian circles. It's like an alt-right thing where it's like, we need to have cultural homogeny and blah, 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 blah. But when you think about it, in Chadon, there's the same family bloodlines that resisted the Aztecs and the Spaniards that are now resisting the corrupt local government and the gangs, the Malos. And it's that homogeny, it's that common sangre, the same blood, right? And so a challenge that we have is we have diverse people, diverse ideas, but let us unite behind a common desire to live a life in alignment with our inherent sovereignty, because at the end of the day, that's what each and every one of us deserve. Now, I don't want to come back to the fear thing, but it is a powerful motivator. I know that I don't want my children, my great-grandchildren growing up in a world where they're digitally enslaved from birth. And like Derek says so many times, they are counting on each and every one of us to do the work now, so that is not their reality. And I want to thank those of you that are part of the Freedom Cell Network. I want to encourage you to redouble your efforts. And for those of you that haven't joined yet, please join us, because I do believe that this can be a vessel to create greater freedom, prosperity, community, security, for us and the future generations to come. And anytime you start feeling that doubt, just understand we have truth on our side, we have unity on our side, and let us not forget the default state of human beings and nature is living free. So let's rise up, let's stand at our true power, and there's no holding us down. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.